Good afternoon to everyone. I want to welcome you again to our worship service and for you choosing to worship with us on this afternoon. We're especially thankful for those whom we call our VIPs, our very important persons that may not be members of the Church of Christ that are on the call with us on this afternoon. There are some foundational things that I would like to share, especially to you. Those are our visitors with us on our call this afternoon from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 10, and the verse is number 23. Jeremiah recognized something when he said, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Jeremiah realized what all the human race should realize is that it is not in a man to guide himself spiritually. So Jesus identified the place for which guidance can come when he said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So God prioritized spiritually what should be sought first, and he says that's the kingdom of God. And so when Nicodemus met with Jesus by night in John chapter 3, and the verse is number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again," and that's a spiritual birth, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved." So that tells us that the church is also that kingdom that Jesus spoke about. And the Bible tells us, according to Luke's writing, that all the saved are in the church. So we want to welcome you again this afternoon as we look at our subject on this afternoon. Is the Lord among us or not? Great question. Is the Lord among us or not? Sometimes we can question, as we looked at on this morning, about whether the Lord is among us. We'll look at the text on this afternoon. What I want to share, first of all, if you were with us on this morning, we read this morning from Exodus 14 of the necessity of the child of God to walk in reverence of God and to trust in him even when you may not be able to see a way out of your situation and circumstances as the children of Israel faced this morning. God allowed the children of Israel to cross over the Red Sea on dry ground. God can allow the ground to be dry. However, one still must deal with people, even Christians, when you have crossed over. This lesson is to speak to circumstances of such. And to set the message up, thank our brother for reading the scriptures in our hearing. However, in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 35, the Bible reads, "And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited." They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. So we see from that text what was going on in the lives of those children of God. God can provide for the child of God for years, and still you have to be able to deal with people. God provided for them, but you still got to be able to deal with people. So we find in Exodus 17, picking up at the first verse, the Bible says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Even though God is providing for the Christian, issues can arise that will challenge you as a Christian. For these children of God, the issue that arose was a lack of water to drink. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And so the word chide means a word that we don't hear often, but that word means to criticize other people in an angry way. This can escalate to the use of profanity and threatening to even harm someone. So we see that in this case, even though God had provided for them for 40 years, sometimes when things are not going as we want them to go, we see people sometimes like to blame other people when problems come up in their lives. And this to speak to that on today, how you deal with this situation from the Word of God. We sometimes don't want to look at the decisions we made that had affected this situation. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations, circumstances that are hard and difficult to deal with, but sometimes it's because of decisions that we have made. However, in this case, Moses had to deal with these people that were criticizing him, that was angry with him, that was mad with him. And so the Bible tells us in verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And so this is now to those that are leaders, whether it be in the congregation where you serve or it can be in the home to which you lead, if you're the leader there. As a leader, this type of behavior toward the leader is common, and it comes with the responsibility. As a leader, you still want to respond in a manner that pleases the Lord, even though the Bible says they murmured. And murmured means to complain of one's unhappiness about something. Sometimes, as a parent, you'll have children complain about situations and circumstances, about even with what we're dealing with now, what we're hopefully moving toward. Notice now, we're moving out of one situation into another situation. We have dealt with the pandemic for the last about 2 years. Now we are being affected in this country by the war in another country. So you go from one situation to another, but you still got to deal with these situations and circumstances. And the thing is, we'll see in the Word of God, it's not that you deal with it, but how you deal with it. Do you deal with it going back to how you used to deal with stuff, or do you deal with situation, circumstances as God would have you, having been taught. We talked this morning about the Word of God is that light to your feet, is that lamp by which you follow. Do you use the Word of God in dealing with your situations and circumstances? You can even be, we have now situations where now grandparents are raising grandchildren, and sometimes you hear the murmuring of them against you and how you are raising them. Well, you still got to learn how to manage yourself, that you don't allow your stressors and those anxieties to overwhelm you, that you end up doing something to yourself, to someone else, that is not pleasing to God. And sometimes it can become criminal or civil in what you are doing. So we find, first of all, in Proverbs chapter 15, Solomon said in verse 1, when you got people that are chiding, and murmuring, complaining, Solomon said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so when we're dealing with situations, you know, now we have, I know in this city in Houston, a lot of road rage where people become angry with another person. And in some cases, when you give back grievous words, it leads to other things. But the Bible instructs us that a soft answer can turn away that malice that a other person may have. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And so Moses now goes to the Lord with his situation. In verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? Lord, how do you want me to handle these people now? They are not only complaining, but notice what Moses said. They be almost ready to stone me. Sometimes people get so angry with you, if they could. Moses said, they are ready to stone me. They're ready to hurt me. And so we find in the Word of God, how do I deal with this situation where I have people now, and most people in many cases, you'll find that people become angry when they don't get what they want. It's not about needs, it's about want. We as a people, even as Christians, when we don't have what we want, we want to complain and we want to leave, we want to do other things. That's because we're not getting what we want. But notice what Peter said in his writing to Christians. 1 Peter chapter 2, and the verse is number 19. 1 Peter 2 and 19, because Peter was referring, using this as an example, when you had servants that have masters of the flesh. Peter tells them how to respond that can be a good platform for the Christian. Peter says in verse 19 of 1 Peter 2, for this is thankworthy, or this is commendable, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You know, what he's saying is that sometimes I may be, because of my mind toward the Lord, I may endure grief, and sometimes I'm treated wrongfully. Then he asked the question, For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if, notice what he says now, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable or pleasing to God. When you're doing what's right and you still suffer and you take it with the proper mindset, Peter says, this is pleasing with God. And so as we look at Moses' situation, and I'm talking to those that of us that oftentimes we allow ourselves to be caught in situations, circumstances where arguments, and even if we're not careful, as I said before, curse words and threatening comes about. Well, as the Christian, I want to always carry myself as a Christian. The Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, verse 5, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thy hand and go. What the Lord was saying to Moses, as I talked about this morning, that rod that Moses had was to remind them of how God had dealt with their situation and circumstances when they came to the river, the Red Sea, and how God was able to deal with them. And so as they crossed over, notice, as I said this morning, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. But again, as we go through stuff, sometimes that teaching that we had before, or that intervention of the Lord in our affairs in life, sometimes when we are in a tight, as in this case here, they had no water to drink, we become angry, we begin blaming people or other people for our situation. No, we have to deal with the situation as it is. We're in this country now, gas prices going up, food going up, clothes going up. Well, you can blame somebody if you choose to, or you can simply learn, after I finish blaming people, you still have to deal with it. And that's to speak to us, some of us, even as Christians, and those that are in the world, when they go through stuff, they think drinking or smoking or using drugs will cause their problems to go away. But let me share this with you. When you come down from that drinking, from those drugs, from those pills, from that smoke, you still have to deal with life on life terms. And oftentimes, at that time, your situation may have gotten worse because you didn't deal with it when you should have. Yeah. We have to deal with issues. So the Bible says, God told Moses, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. You know, sometimes in matters of dispute, notice here, having someone wise and mature can help the situation. God told him to take with him the elders, those of Israel that was wise and mature, take them with you. And God addresses, I said this morning, God is always looking in the affairs of man, and also especially for those that are his children. God gave Moses the solution to the situation. He said, smite the rock that the people may drink. And so we find in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, if you turn there, and the verse is number 4, Paul make reference to this situation that they were going through. And Paul said to them in verse number 10, how we ought not to be, neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. But what we want to understand that Paul wrote in verse number 4 concerning this exact situation in Exodus 17 and 6, Paul said to those, and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And so for us today, we drink from that spiritual rock that allows the word of Christ to influence our tongue and our behavior. Note in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, they had that rock which was Christ, but Paul shares with us in Colossians 3 and 16, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. So the word of God has to dwell in us. And that's what directs us. That's what influences our tongue and our behavior. When the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly with all wisdom. And so when we go through stuff, when we have those that are angry and those that are biting at us, those that are hateful toward us, we still want to deal with them based on the word of God that dwells in us richly. And so Moses, I conclude in the final verse. Moses said in verse 7, the Bible says, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord. That's what Massah means. Massah. It means, the word means the testing or tempting of God. They tempted God. They test God. And so Moses called the place there Massah, because of the fact they tempted the Lord himself. And then he called it Meribah, which means to argue about or disagree with something, or you are quarreling. And he said, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, he gave that place and that area those two names because of what was going on. But then he asked a question that I want to share with those of us that are Christian today. Before you start blaming someone else for your situation and circumstances, Moses asked a question, which is my title this afternoon. Is the Lord among us or not? If you are a child of God, ask yourself the question, is the Lord among us or not? Well, for that, going back to Peter's letter in 1 Peter chapter 3, and the verse is number 11. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 11. Peter first says, And he spoke about controlling your tongue. He said in verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. So Peter says, first of all, for those that are going through stuff, you still got to do good. And as I've learned during this pandemic, it's the response of my responsibility to try to seek peace. Then he tells us when Moses asked the question, is the Lord among us or not? Peter answered that by saying, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. So we know, is the Lord among us? Yes. If I'm living the life as a Christian to the best of my ability, then the Lord not only is his eyes, as I talked about this morning, God has interest in the affairs of his children. His eyes, the Lord Peter says, are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayer. So as a Christian, I know that the Lord is looking down on my situation. Also, I know that God's ears are open to my prayers. And so, is the Lord among us? Yes. Is he there? Yes, he's there. He's there to help us through the situations that we are going through. And so hopefully this afternoon, we found from the Word of God, we're going to win, even when they crossed over and God sent them through dry land and they got on the other side, when situations were not to their liking, people will turn on you and blame you for things that's going on with them. However, as a Christian, God, as he did with Moses, and through the Word of God, shows us how we are to respond. A soft answer is what we want to respond to. And in some cases, Jesus did. Sometimes, no answer. There were times when they would challenge Jesus, or tempt Jesus, and Jesus would not respond. Sometimes, silence may work or be beneficial as opposed to a soft answer. Just no answer. But that's to help us in our Christian walk on this afternoon. And if you're not a Christian, we always want to share as we close the message this afternoon, going to the Romans letter. In Romans chapter 1, what you need to know to become a child of God, as we spoke to children of God this afternoon, to become a child of God, to become a Christian, a member of the Lord's church, we find in Romans chapter 1, and the verse is number 15, where Paul said, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So Paul said he preached the gospel, and the gospel are three facts, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried in a tomb. He rose again the third day. And while he suffered on that cross and died for our sins, when they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet, he shed his blood on that cross, because the Bible records for us in John 19:34, when they pierced him in the side, out came both blood and water. And so for you to become a Christian, you must imitate what Christ did. And we find that in Romans, the 6th chapter, where the Bible says, and I want you to know at this point, you are still in your sin. And that's why Paul, when he reminded those Christians, now he said, what shall we say then? Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid, or God wouldn't allow. How shall we that are, notice now, Christ died for sin, that are dead to sin. We have to initially die to sin and not live any longer therein. Then he told them how that is done. One must hear the gospel. You heard today. Christ died for your sin. You bear it. He rose again 30. You must believe that, as Paul said in the Romans chapter 1. Then you must repent of your sin. Or repentance begins by you turning to Christ from that life you've been living. You then confess, according to Acts 8:37, that what you believe in your heart, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you culminate that, and as it says in verse 3 and 4, know ye not, Romans 6, 3 and 4, that so many of us as were baptized, water baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. So in Christ's death, when they pierced him inside, there was blood and water. We get into the water. That's a liquid burial. However, by faith, the blood of Christ is in the water that cleanses us of all our past sin. And the Bible says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So that new life that you walk in, now you are added to the church. We see it in Acts 2:47. You are added to the church. There is only one. We find that described in Romans 16:16, where Paul said, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. If you want to become a Christian, get with the person that invited you to the call, that you can respond to the invitation through obedience and being water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sin, and the Lord will add you to the only church that you can read about in the Bible. I thank you very much for your listening here on this afternoon. Thank you.